through 5 is one of my favorite verses of scriptures because it reminds me of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I can say this because Pleasant Hill is very special to me. Especially, I know it is to you too, a lot of you, but it's special to me in more than one way. It's special to me because this was a place that I was saved, and I learned to know that I was a lost person, and I was going to hell, and I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and this is a place where the Lord had led me that I was saved. But not only that, that my family, 3 sons, they were saved here and their family, and so it's another great blessing to God that that my family also found the Lord here at Pleasant Hill. But then there's a third blessing in a very special way. Very few men that preaches the Word of God has had this opportunity to pastor a church where he was saved at. But I also have this other great blessing, and to be able to pastor this church for this short time that I've been here with you, the place where I was saved at, I got a lot of remembers here. So, but these verses of Scripture, Paul was also talking to the Philippian church and how he had left them, and how his mind reminded him of this great fellowship that he had. So this morning I want to mention to you that we need to bring back the fellowship. Last Wednesday night, I hope that you come on Wednesday night. Our fellowship is dropping off on numbers on Wednesday night. But I talked about bringing back the church on Wednesday night. And the church starts off with saved people. And that's where the foundation of the church is at. Is people must be saved before you can build a church. You can't build a church for lost people. We want lost people to come and be saved, but they need to be saved. But then the sweet fellowship of the church. Oh, this is the sweetest place that I've ever went to church at. I want to thank the Lord for the sweet fellowship that we have here. But are we really the church that God intended for us to be? So I brought us back Wednesday night and see how the church is supposed to be. In the book of Acts is a pattern for the church. Last Sunday, I preached on God Bless America Again. So I was looking back upon America, and I'm looking back last Wednesday night on the church, and I'm looking back now about the fellowship. Are we the sweet fellowship that the first church was intended to be at the pattern we have in the New Testament today to try to understand and to underscore the church again and underscore the fellowship again and what the church is intended to be and also what the church is to do. I know that Billy Graham and his young ministry, as he started out, he was preaching, and I guess you know that Billy Graham also has some critics, and he was preaching to a large congregation, and the pastor of the church, after he got through preaching, says, "Billy Graham, you have set our church back 2,000 years." And Billy Graham, he apologized and said, "I'm sorry, I meant to set it back 2,000 years. So that's exactly where the pattern of the church come from. It comes from the Word of God. The pattern of the church, as I said Wednesday night, don't come from other churches. It comes back from the Word of God and from the book of Acts, where the first church was established and how the great fellowship they had at the first church. And I thank you for the fellowship we have here this hour, but we can even have any even greater fellowship if we do what God has told us to do. So let's read these verses of Scripture here. These are my verses of Scripture, Paul's verses of Scripture, and they was penned by the Spirit of God, by the hand of Paul, as we read that he was going on his missionary journey and looking back at the great blessings that God has blessed him. From time to time, people leave the church, but I tell you, if they had the great fellowship that I have, I've always looked back at Pleasant Hill and saw the great fellowship that I had here when I was here. And then I went away. But also, Paul is looking back now and seeing how that he established this church and how that he sees the great fellowship. And he says there in verse 3, verse 4 and 5, and then he says, "I thank my God." And that's the reason that we're here this morning, because of God. And Paul says, "I thank my God." The reason Pleasant Hill is the church that God intended for it to be here and the fellowship we have, because we must thank God. And he says, "I thank God for every remembrance of you." Paul remembered back whenever he went to that church and how he thanked them for everything they'd done for him. He says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Let us pray again. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the written word of God. We want to thank you for the Spirit of God. Father, we just want to thank you here for this church that you have blessed throughout the years. Lord, there's many that's gone on to be with the Lord, that great homecoming in the sky, Father, that we'll all make one of these days. And we just want to thank you, Father, for the past saints, Lord, Father, that's gone on. We want to thank you, Lord, for the saints that's here this hour. And, Lord, for the ones that'll be in the future until you call all of us home, Father, of the rapture of the church. And, Father, we want to just praise you and thank you, Lord, that the fellowship this day we have, because it's the fellowship in Jesus Christ. And how, Father, we should pray and thank you, God, for what you are doing and how we can have this fellowship and how that we can lay, Lord, aside our burdens, Lord, and come out and be in the congregation of people that love Jesus Christ. And, Father, do everything we can for the lost person and they might know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we want to thank you and we want to praise the name of Jesus Christ, because it's because of you, Jesus, what you've done on Calvary's cross, and allow us to have this sweet fellowship this side of heaven this day. So we want to praise you and thank you, O God, for all the great blessings this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. So God has given us a pattern. He's given us a pattern of a special fellowship. I want to tell you this morning, you are very special if you're born again. But also you are in a spiritual fellowship. And the spiritual fellowship calls for a sacrifice fellowship, and it costs something to serve the Lord. So a sacrificial fellowship we have this hour, because it's always cost you something to serve the Lord. But God has given us a pattern, and he gave us a principle in the New Testament church for us to be exactly what God has called us to be. As I told you Wednesday night, and I tell you, ask you again this hour, really, or do you really think that our church, especially that it is exactly what it ought to be, what God has called it out of this old dark world to be? Paul says, my favorite church, and he puts on display now, and he looks into the pattern and the principle in the place he finds here at Philippi. And he's reading these verses, you can just feel the love and the warmth and the fellowship that Paul had when he's at that church there at Philippi. And he gives this word there, that statement, fellowship. And this fellowship that stands out, that phrase goes through this little short book several times. Fellowship and fellowship and fellowship. So we thank the Lord how Paul had expressed this word for us to understand how it stands out. Paul expresses this word in thanksgiving. And he draws from these verses of Scripture, Paul says, the influence that we all have. Now, we all have influence, and these people had influence on Paul. And we all have influence, and some's good influence, and some is bad influence. But we all have influence on one another. And how that is important for us to have influence on one another. Now, most of us, probably here today, do not even remember your great grandfather or either your great grandmother. Most of us don't even know a lot of us probably don't even know their names of our great grandfather or a great grandmother. And a lot of us here this hour don't even know and have never even met our grandparents. I know I'm one that don't. On my mother's side, I don't remember my grandmother on my mother's side. She died before I was born. And on my father's side, I don't remember my grandfather because he died before I was born. And I don't remember my grandfather on that side of my grandmother's. I don't remember who they are. Very little talk is about them because I really do not know them. And probably some of you the same way. But they had influence anyway into my life, whether I recognize them or not. Now, most of us, whenever we leave this earth, most of us, our great-grandchildren is not going to recognize us either. They're not going to know who we are. Our great-grandchildren probably won't even know who we are. And a lot of our grandchildren won't even know. So I tell you, we're here for just for a little while, but we have this influence on our family, and it's very, very important for each and every one of us today. Your influence goes on. And the investment that you make, whether you understand it or not, or your little grandkids and your great-grandkids and your great-grandkids and out through the world, we don't know how influence that we might have on them even by being here this day and telling people that, listen, I want to serve the Lord with 100% what Jesus Christ has given me. And the investment we make in our worship to Jesus Christ at your local church and what you do through your local church, the Lord will let you, and the investment you make is the only thing that you can carry to heaven with you. And I want you to understand how important it is, as I said, bring back the fellowship here this hour of the church. I wish we could sing that old song, Old Time Religion. I like that old song, the Old Time Religion. It'll make you love everybody. Give me that old time religion. Most of us know that song. It's in our old red hymn book, and we sung it from time to time. Give me that old time religion. If anything I really do believe that we need is get back to, and I believe that means get back to the fellowship of the old time religion. And I tell you, it says it to make you love everybody. That means everybody that comes, it'll make you love everybody. As you see what the old timers have, and I love this so very much, it'll make you love everybody. Now, a lot of us at my age and maybe a little older, now we are acquainted with a Primitive Baptist. Most in this area was acquainted with a Primitive Baptist. Now, a lot of our background, a lot of our belief, and a lot of our tradition is carried on in this area because of the Primitive Baptist. That's about the only type of church that was in this area. And I have great respect for the Primitive Baptist. I know that my father was a Primitive Baptist deacon, and my mother at one time was a member of Primitive Baptist, but my grandmother, that I remember most of all, didn't know there was but one type of church, and she always sat on her porch. She always read her Bible, and she was a member of Primitive Baptist Church. It's called Old Mule Creek. And whenever they would meet, I want to tell you, get back to old-time religion now. Whenever they meet, they met, they hugged necks, and they kissed, and they was glad, they was proud to see one another. Most of the time, they had a circle of preachers, and they only met at this church maybe once a Sunday. I know at Mill Creek, it was every four Sunday. Well, they would go to church on other Sundays, and most of our background, they would go to churches on other Sundays, and they had to travel also. I think two of the churches they went to was down in Florida, and they were scattered around. And you see, whenever people worked all week long and didn't have good transportation at that time, but whenever they got time, I mean, after the world got through beating on them all through the week, and they had to work from sun up to sun down, and then their work was not done, there was a break in the time of their schedule, and those people that believed in Jesus Christ, they believed in the Lord, although they believed a different way than we do. They believed in election, and you cannot disapprove election because it's honestly truth in the Word of God. Election, it says that God knows who's going to be saved. God knows who's going to be lost. That is absolutely 100% true, and you can't disprove it. They believed in election, but they believed also, if I could just get the church. Now, if I could just get the church, and when they come to church, they come to church to worship Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not carrying the church back 2,000 years as I'd like to, but I'm carrying the church back about 50 years as I'd like to. When they come to church, they come to church for that reason. Now, they didn't just come to church just to be seen. I mean, they come to church because they laid down their tools. Many times on Saturdays they come and on Sundays. Now, they laid down their tools, and it's very, very important that our work must be done because they believed in the farming. The farmers, the way they made a living, they had to have everything done. But when they went to church, and I know that I have a lot of people in this area, Uncle Simon and Aunt Virgie that I remember they had to go. They went to church. They had a house full of kids. A lot of y'all are kin to them. They had a house full of kids, and I don't know, about 13 head. Is that right? Didn't have about 15 head of kids now, and not counting me, I was over there most of the time myself and the rest of the kids around in the neighborhood. Now, we was over there, and she cooked enough of biscuits to fill up a back of barn about every Sunday. And I'm telling you, she knew how to cook. It was always something to eat. But you see, when it come time on that weekend, after that hard work all week was over with, they went to church. When they got to church, they intend to have fellowship. And they had fellowship. My dear old grandmother, I remember her so many times reading her Bible, and she'd always go to church. If there was any way possible, she was going to be at church. She had the influence on me. She had the influence on me because she was concerned. She had the commitment for fellowship. And I'm going to tell you, they come for the right reason. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I'll tell you one thing. I never heard my grandmother come back home and say, somebody hurt my feelings and I ain't going back to that church no more. Somebody hurt my feelings and they said a word and I didn't like it and I ain't going back to church no more. I have never heard that. I have never heard that. I never heard any of those Primitive Baptists say that. They'd hurt you all right because they had discipline in the church. They wasn't worried about what people said because they come for a reason. And I tell you, whenever people come for the right reason and the right fellowship, and the fellowship they did have, they'll start loving one another, and they won't worry about what people say. I'm not worried about what you say. I'm worried about what God knows. That's the thing about it. Now, they love one another. Always. For all those years. Why? Because they worship in fellowship. Now, a lot of times people come today, and I'm telling you, we need to get back to the fellowship, because a lot of people come today, and what can I get out of the church, or what can the church do for me? And that's altogether different. Or they might say, I got to go to church. They expect me to go to church. If you're coming for that reason, you're coming for the wrong reason. That's the wrong fellowship. You got to. You get to. You know what made them so happy on Sunday? Because a Sunday rolled around, Saturday rolled around, and they got a chance to go to be with God's people. But that's the way it ought to be with me and you. Sunday comes, Wednesday night comes, and we get a chance to be with one another in the Lord with a fellowship. I got to go. I got to go. That's the wrong reason. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued standfast in apostle doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. Now, Paul says to Philippians, you know, you remind me, he says, it's very precious in the sweetness of their fellowship. As I look back, I see the means of this sweetness. Now, there's a lot of clubs that's meeting. And a lot of even meeting today, and they have fun, food, and they have fellowship. But they don't have the things in common that you and I have today. Now, this word fellowship, now what does it mean? It means to share. Now, whenever they come to church, whenever we come to church, you should come to church to share something. We got something that we need to share together. Isn't it very sad today that we know that there's so many people today and there's so many empty pews today and people that say they're saved and they don't have anything to share? That is contradiction to the Word of God. But if you're saved, you got something to share. These, they had something to share, the fellowship. That's what they mean. That's what that word means, fellowship, to have something to share, something we might share with others. You know what you're doing here this morning? You're sharing something with me. You know what I'm doing? I'm sharing something with you, and you're sharing something with one another by being here at this church at this time. We're sharing together the something that we have in common, and that is Jesus Christ. Such a pity that people don't have anything to share. They don't have anything to share. You know, ladies, they get together and they talk about cooking. They talk about diets. Men, they talk about fishing, hunting. But see, the fellowship and the word there, the same word for fellowship is where we get our word koin. Koinonia. That's the Greek word, koin. Now, it's the medium of exchange is what it means. Around the world, our currency is recognized around the world. It won't be much longer, but it's recognized right now around the world. It's a means of exchange. Now, the church is a place where people have something in common. That's the fellowship. Everyone up here today, are you saved today? If you've been to Jesus Christ, have you been to Jesus Christ to see what he'd done for you on Calvary's cross? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Asked him if you would repent? Would he come in your heart and save you? If you have done this and followed him through baptism, and you know that the day that you are a child of God, born, and you're also heavenly bound because you was a heavenly born, you know that you're on the way to heaven this day. Are you? If you are, you have something to share with other people. Church is a place where we share something in common. Bring back the church. Bring back the fellowship, the foundation of salvation, but the fellowship that we have today. And that fellowship means to share a life. People shared their life with me whenever I was lost. They shared their life here at this church. The reason I have so much respect for this church. And what you're doing here this day, every time that you come, you share in your life with someone else. We're sharing our life together because of what Christ has done for us, a shared life. And Sunday school and Wednesday night is a place that we have support that we might be able to share even more of our life together. I recommend you come to Sunday school. That is your support group, and you need to come to Sunday school. And you need to come to Wednesday night because you get a chance to come and to share your life and to share your blessings with other people. There's a purpose of Sunday school, and the purpose to start with is evangelism. That is the first purpose. And the next is teaching the Word of God. And the third place, it is a place that we must share with one another. So thank you, Lord, today for Pleasant Hill. But you see that word fellowship, it is a very special fellowship. You are a very special person this day, this word fellowship, because only one that God has called before you can be in this fellowship. Now, this fellowship is called the church. Is the only organization I know of you got to confess to be bad before you can join it, other than the side of the hell angels. You got to confess that you are bad before you can join it. You see, you got to confess your sins. You got to hear the bad news before you can hear the good news that you're lost and you need to be saved. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 it says, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of the Son of Christ our Lord. I mean, he said he's faithful to call you, and you have been called into this fellowship. Now, a person is saved, they are called. You have to be called by faith through repentance and be saved. Supernatural, be born in the family of God. Now, it's sad to some now, because it says there in Proverbs 1 and 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. God calls everybody. Whosoever will gospel is what I believe. But there's so many God's called, but they can't hear. They don't regard God's calling. You have to be called today. It's a special fellowship because it's in a special family with special privileges and accommodation. 1 John 1 and 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declaring to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You enter into a father-child relationship when you're born again. A father-child relationship. Now, people in your own family, are they special to you? Yes, they are. You entered into a very special family whenever you were saved. Special commendations are made for you. It's very sad whenever people don't understand this. Sad whenever they understand one thing, that there's two families in the world, because Jesus Christ said to some, you are of your father the devil. See, there's two families in the world. A lot of people don't like to recognize this, but it's the word of God. They say we just all brothers, and we all, God loves everybody, and he is our father of everybody. That says a good word, but it's not true. God is the creator of everybody, but he is not the father of everybody. That only comes through Jesus Christ, that you might be able to call Abba Father by salvation, that you enter into a relationship, father-child relationship. Paul thanks now, he says, these Philippians, because you see that I'm not in this by myself. I'm not fighting this battle alone. 2 Peter 1 and 4 also says, whereby we are given us an excellent, great, and a precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You have been given something of God this hour. You have been given God's divine nature, being born again. There's something very, very special about you being born again. You are part that God has shared his life with you, because he have gave you part of his life, called the divine nature. And no longer you have to worry about fighting this battle alone. And that's the reason we want to be with God's people. God wants to share his life with you. But not only that, he wants you to share your life with him. Now, don't it sound reasonable to the word of God, if God has placed the divine nature in somebody, that they'd want to come and share that divine nature with him? I mean, don't that make the sense of the word of God, what he's talking about here, that they got something to share? For instance, you know, a mother and father, they bring a little one in this world. And you know what you do when you bring a little one in this world? You want to share your life with that child. As that child begins to grow, you do everything you can to get that child to grow. I mean, you bring into a warm house, you do everything possible for that child to grow. You want that child to grow. A father-child relationship. But now, isn't it sad sometimes when our children gets to a point that no longer they don't want to share their life with you? That's what you call rebellion. That's what you call you getting out and leaving. They want to rebel against the mother and father because they don't want to share their life with them any longer. We see you have the same thing in the child of God. There's hundreds of people today across this America on church roads and even on this church here that do not want to share their life with Jesus Christ. They do not. So they are rebelling against God, and they do not have this fellowship. Why? Because their sin or they backslide in their life. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteous with unrighteous, and what communion with light with darkness?" There's two worlds. Ephesians 5 and 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." You can be in a membership of a church and still not be in fellowship in the church. And so many times that we have this, we have numbers that comes. I can tell by a lot of times preaching and people comes and they come and they don't want to hear the word of God, and you can see the expression on their life, on their face. I'll be glad when that old boy is through and I can get out of here. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't hear what God has to say. But the characteristics of a fellowship of a church are either two ways. It's either a fellowship or it's friction, one of the two. We either will have fellowship here or we will have friction here. And friction is started by people that's either lost, members of the church, they lost, or either they backslidden, one of the two. Now, where friction come from, that's it all it points to. They're lost or they're backslidden. Now, God wants fellowship to be on the high level. God wants this fellowship and all fellowship, the church, to be on a very, very high level. Now listen to me. We need to guard this fellowship with all the jealousy that we have. God is a jealous God. Because when people comes, and a lot of people comes, and they join the church for a while, and they want to lower the standards. Listen to me now. They want to lower the standards. They want to lower the standards, and they want to pull down what Pleasant Hill have set up for many years. This is a strong church, and this church has been here for a long time. It is a conservative church, and if we give away, I'm going to tell you, it won't be a church. We need to guard this very, very carefully. Now, we have, for instance, we have people that wants to be in a position in the church, and they come for a while, and they come in regular, they're doing good, and we nominate them for a position maybe of teaching, maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Sunday school, and pretty soon they start missing. And they miss on Sunday, and then they start playing ball on Sunday. They go fishing or whatever else they start doing, and they quit coming to church. They just hit now and then, and they come. And they don't want nobody saying anything to them about them coming and the way they come and the way they serve. I want to tell you right now, I don't want anybody teaching my family that don't come to church regular. Do you? Am I in this by myself? I don't want anybody teaching that don't want to come to church regular. There's something wrong in their life. And what they need to do is resign from that office. I don't care if it's deacon. I don't care if it's Sunday school teacher, if it's Wednesday night teacher, whatever that might be. Now, I'm not talking about sickness or having to work. But if they're not coming like they ought to, they ought to resign. They ought not to make me the bad guy all the time or somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have to confront them with it because I'm going to guard this as long as I'm here, and you need to help me do this. If they don't want to do what they should do, they need to resign from that office. Because what they're trying to do is bring the level of it down. Now, what they will do, they will leave. And you know that they leave, somebody's hurt my feelings, they go off. But where they go, they're going to try to find some church or another except the way they want to live and believe. And I'm going to tell you what, they'll find one. They'll find one. There's plenty of them out there. They're Baptist churches. They won't care if you come on a Sunday morning, Sunday. They won't care. You can teach if you just come just to teach. You go back home to the rest. They don't care. Whatever it might be, they don't care. But I'm going to tell you, if you want the fellowship that God intends this church to have, it needs to be on a higher level. It needs to be on a higher level. Am I in this by myself? Am I in this by myself? I'm going to tell you, this is what you call pressure. This is what you call pressure. Pressure. When you have to correct them, somebody has to correct them. And no matter what you say or how you say it or how you go about it, they're always going to say so-and-so about the church. They're going to find fault about the church. They're going to find fault about the preacher. I'm always the butt of all of it. Don't bother me. I'm going to do the word of God. But always somebody's made them do this. I'm going to say this is a very special fellowship. But not only that, it's a spiritual fellowship. Now, if we compromise, like I said, our convictions, I'm going to tell you, we will not reach the lost world. New church year fixing to come. Nominating committee fixing to get started. Listen, just remember what I told you. Just remember the standards. 1 John 1, 6 and 7 says, If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, his son, from all of our sins. Now get right and stay right. Philippians 2 and 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any other fellowship of the Spirit in the bowels of this mercy. Get right and stay right is what it's talking about. Now, in our Sunday school, they ought to be an empty chair. We need to get busy in our Sunday school about bringing up our Sunday school. Sacrificial sacrifice we must have. Philippians 3 and 10. Listen to what it says. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death. The fellowship of suffering. Now remember what it means, the fellowship. Share your life. Sacrifice. It involves a cost. Everything we do involves a cost. You know, it costs something for us to be here this morning. Everybody had to give something to be here. We got people doing things right now, this hour. Look upstairs. They got people upstairs. Somebody in the nursery. Somebody's doing something out there in the children's church. What are you doing for Jesus Christ through your church? What are you doing? 2 Corinthians 8 and 4 also says, pray us with that much intense, you know, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of this ministry to the saints. The fellowship to the saints. I like that old song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. That's in our old red hymnal, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. If you look at old red hymnal, if you ever get a chance to look in it, at it, it's on page 75. And John Fawcett, or Fawcett, whatever his name is called, you know, he was born in 1740. Now, I mean, that's a long time ago to still have some hymns. John Fawcett, they were born in 1840, and he died in, 1740, died in 1817. Now, he took as his text one of these days, and he read 1 John 2 and 10. It says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no cause of occasion of stumbling for him. John and his wife, Mary, was married at 26 year old. He began his ministry there in a little Baptist church in Wainwright, England. And he stayed out there in a country, a little small church, and they just barely, barely made a living. They was just merely getting by just enough to eat just a little bit. He stayed there for 7 years. And his last sermon he preached before he's going to leave and go to London to a larger church, he preached from Luke chapter 12 and 15. It says, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things he possesses. And he closed out a sermon, then he wrote this poem. And this poem was, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, our heart in Christian love. The fellowship of kindness minds is like that above. That old song that he wrote that. And he wrote that poem as he closed out his last sermon. And he loaded up the old wagon. And that next morning, him and his wife, as they loaded up that old wagon, and all his congregation, he'd been there for 7 years. Every one of them come out to meet him and tell him how much they loved him and his family and how much they was going to miss him and what he had done for them while he had been there. So his wife turned to her husband, John. She says, I just can't bear to leave this place. And John says, I can't either. And they unloaded that old wagon. And they stay there a total of 54 years, just merely making a living because of Christian fellowship. Philippians 3, 1 and 3 says, thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That was old John. He said, I can't leave. So I want to tell you what it means, a blessing today. Are you blessed by Pleasant Hill? Are you blessed by one another? It's up to you as we sing a song of invitation. Is there something more that God wants you to do here at this church? What are you doing to add one more fellowship, one more person? Anybody here that God is talking to that you need to move your membership here at this church and be where God has called you to be? It's a special place here at Pleasant Hill. It's a special congregation, and it's a very special fellowship. God's talked to you. You need to get up off your pews. You need to come down here and you need to move your membership. You need to come down this altar. You need to pray. You need to get up and shake hands with somebody and tell them you love them again. That's what you need to do. Whatever God has called you to do, exactly what you need to do right now as we stand and sing this hymn.